It's time for the Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
Beaudry makes a move around his man, carries it down the left side wall, drags it around his shot, he scores! Justin Beaudry! Are you kidding me? What a shot!
Every Wednesday night, get all the info you need to know about the next game.
Into the offensive zone, Adam Brady, left circle, shoots and scores! Left side wall up over the shoulder of Israelson. 53 seconds in, Beavers 1-0.
Well, that's a twisted wrister from Brady. He got that thing, wasn't on his stick long. And
get the insight from the man behind the bench at BSU for 19 seasons. He's played here. He's coached here. He and Bob Peters are Beaver Hockey. The Tom Ceratori Show, live from the Green Mill, on the radio home for Beaver Hockey since day one of the Division I era. We are the Beaver Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Seems like I haven't been here in forever.
You haven't?
I think it's been a month.
It pretty much has.
Basketball. That's right, you were gone. You were gone last Wednesday, right?
Basketball last week. Anchorage the week before.
Yeah.
Marquette the week before that.
Yeah, we haven't talked to Tom in forever.
I was here last Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, yeah.
When Biss was manning the controls.
Yeah, when we went commercial free for the whole hour, practically.
Let's not go there, Biss. Regular season has come to a close. The Beavers, the number 2 seed in the WCHA playoffs, will open up with Lake Superior State this Friday, Saturday, and if needed, Sunday. Tom, I think I can speak for most people that I do not want to be working on Sunday.
Well, hey, I want to be working on Sunday if we lose a game on Friday or Saturday.
Very, very true.
You know, so some things we can't control right now, Schultze.
Let's rewind to last weekend. That is what college hockey is all about. The building was full. It was electric. It was loud. The play was great on both ends of the ice. Two great games. It's why the guys work so hard all year is for games like that, right?
I agree. I thought it was the best weekend of hockey in the Sanford Center. You know, the 10 years we've been there, bar none. I don't know a better weekend of hockey. And not only the crowd, but I'm just saying we could have won both those games. We could have lost both those games. They could have won on Friday. We could have won on Saturday. Just whatever. You know, whatever scenario you want to paint out, that's what could have happened. And I just thought the games were outstanding. You had great defensive play. You had a lot of offense. It was just good hockey. The referees, I thought, were outstanding too. They let the guys play, but if they had to call something, they did. I thought it was just a well refereed game. So I think if you want to take a look at every part of that game, Schultze, or that weekend, I thought it was just it was a big time weekend, and I'm happy that the fans were entertained because it was a great game for the coaches and the players.
That has to get a team prepared pretty well for what's to come in the playoffs, right?
Well, you hope so. I mean, obviously, you sit there and you take a look at that level of play. I mean, Mike Hastings and I talked on Sunday, actually. We talked, and that's what he said, too. He goes, we're a better team today than, today than we were on Thursday. And I say the same. But, again, every weekend, every game, every series brings different challenges. But, that was just a game. It was really a fun weekend of hockey.
Well, you obviously have had an incredible second half. It's very ironic that the only other team just as good was the team you were chasing in the WCHA. I mean, you couldn't play any better. If you were in any other league with any other team in front of you, you would have surpassed them. Speaks to the level of play here at the WCHA these days.
Well, absolutely. And the two teams, I mean, the second half, 2020 has been good to us. We've been a pebble in their shoe all of 2020. I mean, they thought they were going to win that league three weeks ago. And I say we were a pebble in their shoe. And Wentz said we're kind of like that mosquito bite that never went away, you know. And that's what it was. And that's a testament to our players right there, is to hang on that long and have the second half that they did. And we kept winning and kept winning. And then there's games that you look like we were left for dead, and we found a way to get it done. So it created the hype for this past weekend, and we didn't disappoint. You know, both teams, nobody disappointed the fans, and it was a weekend for the ages.
Let's go back to Friday's game. Stayed scoreless for quite a while. And you guys got, some people would call it a lucky break. Some people would call it fluky. Some people would say, oh, man, really? That good of a goalie that you're going up against, and that's the goal that goes in. And this is a goofy sport. Stuff like that happens. Games change because of fluky goals like that.
Absolutely. That jump-started us, and it's just the way it goes right there. And, you know, somebody had to get a greasy goal. We got a greasy goal, and I'm sure McKay would like to have that back. But, you know, what the heck? We're the ones who scored it, so who cares?
Well, in the long history of Beaver hockey, I wish there was a highlight reel of all the goals that were scored from down on the sideboards by the goal line.
100%. I mean, we talk about it. We work on it. And it's just, you got to do anything you can to generate offense this day and age. And, you know, we'll funnel pucks from anywhere, and no shot's a bad shot.
Well, and then you get, of course, the Charlie Combs goal just a couple minutes later, then go up 2-0. And, of course, you knew Mankato. That was probably another motivation for them, because they really poured it on for you guys until you got that empty net goal.
I disagree. I thought they scored the goal, and they had a little push. But I thought after they scored their goal, I was really happy how we responded and how we played after that, to be honest with you, Biss. I wasn't on the bench. I wasn't rattled. I thought we played a good game at 2-1. So I wouldn't ask anything more out of our guys.
There wasn't a whole lot of penalties called. I think it was just the one on Friday night.
Early in the game.
So yeah. Both teams are able to roll four lines. How much better does that make a team when you're just able to just keep on rolling?
Well, I get it, if that's what you want to do. I mean, you don't have to roll four lines, because with TV timeouts, you really don't have to, and you can spot your fourth. But we wanted to get into a rhythm, and they wanted to get into a rhythm, and they feel they have the depth, and we feel we have the depth. So we rolled four, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to. And there was, after some TV timeouts, I put our horses out, you know. But, I mean, by and large, it was a four-line game, though, no question.
Then to Saturday, they scored the first goal, and I thought, man, you guys have been so good this year when you're scoring first, and you've scored first so many times that I honestly don't remember the last time that you guys didn't have a lead.
No, I was actually kind of thinking about that too. I don't know either, but it's great playing with a lead. It's great playing with a lead.
The regular season then comes to a close. The two teams that don't make the playoffs, Ferris State and Huntsville. I know there's been some talk amongst coaches over the years of, do we need to get all 10 teams in? I personally think there's an awful lot of drama when you've got teams fighting for that last 8th playoff spot and who isn't going to make the playoffs. Have we had this format long enough for you to grow to like it, or would you still like all 10 teams?
I would like all 10 teams, but it doesn't matter. We have one more year. We're a league, and then we're a league of 7, so it doesn't matter. But, I mean, this is what we're going to see. But I would like to see all 10 teams be in the playoffs. In a perfect world, this is just Tom Ceratori's perfect world, which doesn't mean anything. But in a perfect world, I would like to see, I got to make sure I have this correct here, would 5 play 10, 6 play 9, and 7 play 8. And then you'd have 3, and then the top 5 would get byes, and then you'd have then you'd have 8 teams in the playoffs. But you'd have to have a Final Four. You'd have to have a Final Four. Then you couldn't have a quarterfinal, semifinal, and a final format. You know, but if you had a Final Four, that's probably how we would do it.
Do you like home sites throughout? Because I think that has been a fabulous change. Where you're on campus the whole way through.
Yes and no. I mean, honestly, I could be talked into either. I think there's something special about being in a tournament. I really do. I think, a Final Four, I think there's something special about it. I've been in a lot of them, and it's fun. It's fun for the fans. There's obviously some excitement right there, and you're not playing as many games. You're not as burnt out, which is the truth. And I know people don't look at it that way, but, you know, you want to go all the way to the finals. You could be playing 7 games. Going to the national tournament, that team can be pretty tired. But that's here nor there. I mean, financially, this is the best model, though. Financially, what we're doing is the best model. I don't think it's the best model, but financially, it's the best model. To me, the best model still is a Final Four, if you can justifiably do it.
Well, and I think logistically, too, if you've got a Final Four and it's set in a neutral site, it's easier to plan something than if you've got maybe an upset against a number one or number two seed, and everybody has to plan for like three or four different locations. That's what happened to the women's side of things in the WCHA this year. I mean, I remember Amber Fricklin saying, well, I got to plan either we're going to Columbus or we're going to Duluth, and you got to plan both.
But we're doing the same thing, Kel.
Yeah.
I mean, last weekend, nobody knew. We had to wait till we had to. It's the same thing with us, so we don't know the.
No, but if there's a final Frozen Four for our final four for the men's hockey and it's at a neutral site, then you kind of know already where that
after the first round, you know where you're
going. But we have all the hotels, we have everything established. I mean, everything's already, we have to have hotels for the teams and everything else. The only downside probably would be, which is expensive, is flights. You have to get, quick flights, but so do they. You can't just get a Ohio State just can't get a quick they can't get a flight 3 weeks in advance to wherever their final four is. They have to win the quarters to go there is all
True.
I'm getting at. So I mean, it's not that much big of it. Logistically, it's not that big a difference, but it's just I like a final four. I just think, again, from the standpoint of playing two different teams, being in the hotel, that kind of hype is good, but when you're playing in front of 500 people, that's not fun. And that's kind of what we were getting when we were in Grand Rapids, or we were in, where else were we at this? Oh, at the XL for a little bit. It just wasn't great, and it is what it is. And if you can't sit there and play in front of people, this is probably the next best format. There's just a part of me that would like a Final Four, maybe at the highest seed, which would be at Mankato, you know. But, you know, whoever wins the league champion and who would be the highest seed going in there, there's a part of me that would like to do that. But
not every building in this league can pull that off.
Well, every building probably could build. You know, we have one that might, it would be tough, but we could all pull it off. But the problem you're going to have, Schultze, my biggest thing is not even the building. I know you're worried about the building. I'm worried about if the top seed, let's just say if Mankato, let's use them as the example. They won the league and next week if they had to host a Final Four.
And they weren't in it?
No. Then you'd have the next high seed would do it. But what if Mankato loses Friday night? Saturday's going to have 500 people.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the downside.
Yeah.
So probably what we're doing is the best, because what you're doing is you got fan interest and you got revenue at the same time. But you're also playing, I mean, you're playing a lot of games. And you look at the Big Ten. The Big Ten's going, they do a 2 out of 3, one game. You know?
Well, and I think that opening rounds, you need to do that because competitively, obviously, one and done. Any team on any given night in this sport, as you well know, can do that. So it does reward the better teams, at least at the preliminary stages of the playoffs. The more one and done games, the more likely an upset.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, there's no question about that, 100%. But there's give and take, and there's pros and cons. I mean, again, you know, the Big Ten's looking at it. They're sending representatives to the national tournament. They want them fresh. They want them good. They want to be ready to win a national tournament. They don't want them beat up. And you want to play potentially 7 games in 3 weeks, that's a lot of games.
You're right.
You know, and our travel, so that's all I'm getting at.
We've
had these debates in Florida. I mean, you know,
oh, yeah,
I don't even want to be a part of a world where there's the potential to go to Fairbanks for one game in round two.
Ew. No.
No, and and there's no question. our league footprint makes things awful difficult. Mm-hmm. There's no question.
Well, the beauty of the playoffs is it's a whole new slate, and there are opportunities for upsets this weekend. You got to win two to move on, and Lake Superior State is the opponent this weekend for the Beavs. They came in seventh. You guys were able to handle them in the regular season, but obviously the postseason is different. What worries you most about the Lakers?
Well, I think they're a good hockey team. They know how to win. They won last year. They beat us in the playoffs last year. They won 23 games. They've got a good nucleus back this year. They got, I think, five players or so over 20 points. Max Humich is one of the top forwards in our league. If you take a look at their record, I think they're 6-3-3 in their last 12, so they're hot. Mittens has played really well the second half of the year, really well. And so they've got good goaltending right now. And, no, they're a good hockey team. They've got they got talent. They're well coached. And, the first round of the playoffs is just – it's just nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking all the time. There's not a coach in college hockey that likes the first round of the playoffs because games are going to be tight. One-goal games, be ready for overtime games. I mean, all this – just everything. Yeah, and it just get ready for everything because it's just – It's hope. Everybody's 0-0. All those things apply.
Well, and you don't know how long the games are going to go, right? It's sudden death.
100%.
You could play like the women did on Saturday, what, four overtimes?
Four overtimes.
And have to play the next day.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, there's a lot of things. I told me that. You know what? We got to get ready for food. Have extra food, fruit. You know, you don't know how many overtimes you might go into. The guys have to, obviously, they have to eat. I mean, I've been there. And you better be prepared for anything and everything.
Well, those first three games against Lake Superior State were pretty, I shouldn't say easy, but 7-1, 5-1, 4-1. But that last game you played against them went 3-on-3 overtime.
Yeah.
And that was the first half of the season. How different of a team are they since November?
Way different. Way different. We haven't played them. You know, we played them in November. They're way different. And you know what? They were a good team then. They were in a funk. I mean, we had a good weekend here. There's no question, but like you'd be surprised when you take a look at some of those games and opportunistic goals and how sometimes a game can kind of, you know what, slide one way. There's a lot of different factors in a game, so don't look at those scores, Kelly. They're a good hockey team, and again, they're the team that, you know, they were at home last year and they put us out of the playoffs, and they kind of took it to us. I thought they handled us easily in Sault Ste. Marie last year.
Beavers and Lakers this weekend, first round of the WCHA playoffs. There has been a lot of hype and a lot of discussion amongst your fans, Tom, about the pairwise and where you sit there and the potential for a national tournament. We will talk about that when we return. It's the Tom Ceratori Show from the Green Mill right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Tom Ceratori Show, live from the Green Mill on the Beaver Radio Network.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. Five classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Wow, did you see that new Chevy? Hi, Dan the Chevy Man here at Donlinger GM in Bemidji. The 2020s are here, and we invite you to come in and experience the Donlinger difference. Our value pricing, great selection, and super service. We again would like to say thanks to all our great customers. Donlinger GM, serving and supporting the Bemidji area for over 45 years. Find us online at DonlingerBemidji.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Donlinger GM of Bemidji.
Get the fastest internet speeds available, up to a gigabit per second, with no data caps or long-term contracts. Get GigaZone broadband internet from Paul Bunyan Communications. You'll get the speed you need to support all your devices, stream your favorite shows and movies, and a game online. Plus, you can get GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi featuring Wi-Fi 6, so your wireless network is as powerful as it can be. For the best in internet, television, and voice services, choose Paul Bunyan Communications powered by the GigaZone. We're right here. Service availability depends on location. Some restrictions may apply.
Okay, champ, rise and shine. Mountain Dew Kickstart is sounding the alarm. And last time we checked, no one woke up thinking, seize the snooze button. When it's time to get up, you don't just crawl out of bed, you rise. Because today, you're waking up with an attitude thanks to Mountain Dew Kickstart. It's a refreshing blend of juice, caffeine, and dew built to boost every pursuit with 9 incredible flavors like orange citrus, black cherry, and pineapple orange mango. Mountain Dew Kickstart. Kickstart your day.
Nature isn't the only force that can leave its mark, especially when you have a tractor built to make your property your own. The Kubota BX Series is ready to get any job done the way it should be done. Dig, mow, haul, and comfortably maneuver in tight spaces. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. The BX Series, America's best-selling subcompact tractor. Kubota. Shape your world. See the full line of Kubota at Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North, Bemidji.
John, fishing waders aren't exactly appropriate office attire.
They're for my new fishing guide job. I know all the best spots to catch walleye.
Okay, I'll bite.
Good one. There are lots of great places for walleye. All Green Mills, of course.
Yes, the limited time Walleye Fest menu at Green Mill is back.
Try the Kettle Chip Walleye Bites, Walleye Street Tacos, or Green Mill's famous Cabillo Lodge Walleye, to name a few.
But John, don't you think the waiters are a bit much?
I guess so. Besides, they squeak when I walk, and they're really starting to chafe my...
Okay, John. Okay. Green Mill, pizza, pasta, beer and wings.
And Walleye Fest.
We'll see you at the mill.
The Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Green Mill and the Tom Ceratori Show. We will be here every Wednesday night from 6 until 7 throughout the remainder of the men's hockey season, which has the potential anyway of being another, oh, I don't know, 6 weeks, which would be nice. Tom, you have gone on a pretty magical run here the second half. That has certainly moved you up the computer ranking that is the pairwise. I think most college hockey fans know a little something about it, maybe don't understand all the ins and outs of it, and I'm not sure anybody, quite honestly, understands all the ins and outs of it. But in simplistic terms, it mimics the selection process for the NCAA tournament, correct?
Yes, it does.
So it mimics the process. The pairwise doesn't itself pick the teams. The NCAA has that. College hockey is the only one that has something like this. Do you remember when it started?
It's always, since I've been coaching 25 years, and it's always been the pairwise. Maybe the first couple of years, no, I can't remember. That was so long ago. But no, but there's always been the pairwise has always been a part of it. But there used to be some discretion. There was some discretion in the past. I don't know. It's been a long time since we've had the pairwise. So, and it's been tweaked. It's been tweaked, you know.
Oh, it's tweaked constantly.
Yeah.
For simplistic sake, it takes into account your record, your opponent's record, and your opponent's opponent's record.
You got it. You got it, Biss.
He's Biss.
I mean, Schultze. whatever.
You could have just said Brian and you'd
exactly,
be right.
Exactly. Yeah, Brian. I haven't called him Brian in my life.
I don't think you ever have, no.
No.
Quite honestly, though, there are no real surprises when it comes to selection day because of it.
Right.
Do you like that?
Yes, and the coaches do. We really like it. And, I mean, we there's certain things we might talk about in Florida. And there's certain percentages, too, like to the RPI. And, you know, do you tweak a percentage here? Do you tweak a percentage here? I'll give you one right now. So there's going to be a topic of discussion this spring in Florida, quite honestly. It's on overtime. And do we shut off overtime? I mean, we're going to talk about it. Do we shut off overtime? Or do we shut off the game at 60 minutes instead of right now we have a 65-minute game, right? We have a 60-minute game and a 5-minute overtime. Do we keep it as a 65-minute game, or do we go to a 60-minute game, shut off, you know, right now, right then, it's going to be a tie. It's both teams, you know, both teams are obviously going to get some points in the pairwise. And then you go to 3-on-3, and then do you have just a little smidgen of skin in the game with a 3-on-3? And there's going to be teams that don't want that. There's teams that might want that. You know what? Do you want to make your 3-on-3 and your shootout worth something? You don't want to make it worth a lot because it's gimmicky hockey. But conversely, you know, there's got to be, you know, if we want to have non-conference games and we want to have non-conference overtimes, you might have to have a consistent overtime format, and there might have to be the RPI might have to be part of that. So that's going to be a discussion this spring, I can tell you that, because I think we desperately need all six leagues in college hockey to have the same overtime format, and right now we can't agree on that.
Well, I think it's archaic that it doesn't.
Exactly.
College basketball has the same overtime.
Yeah.
College football has the same overtime.
No doubt.
I've never understood why hockey doesn't.
I can't figure it out either. Like, it's crazy.
With the pairwise and how it works, it continues through the postseason, correct? It's
yes.
Not stopping now.
Yep, you're right.
So performance and...
You got to keep getting it done.
Right.
To make things even more simple, just keep winning and the pairwise takes care of itself.
100%.
Right?
100%. And the farther you get now in the playoffs, the less you're going to move, too. The less you're going to move. That's one thing too. So as I'm talking after a round, after you get past the first round, it's going to move less. You know what I mean? You know, and then obviously a lot of, and we talked about it 5 minutes ago, a lot of leagues are going to have a Final Four, so they only have two games and they're two separate opponents. So that's different too. I mean, we're different because next weekend, there you go again, there's another 2 out of 3. You know, and that's another, you know, I know we have a crowd here, but that's another advantage sometimes of only having a one game second, like the Big Ten has one game, because it's less pairwise implications. You might be protecting your teams.
Because you could have at most one loss.
Yes.
Instead of two.
Yes. And your chances are, if you're already in the pairwise, like a top 13 or 14, you're not going to move. You're not going to budge anyway on a loss, but two losses you could. So you're actually protecting your teams more by playing a one game semi. So does that make sense?
Well, isn't that why the WCHA back in the Final Five format got rid of that third place game?
Yes, it probably hurt you more than it helped
teams
you.
Teams out.
Yeah,
it
knocked us out at St. Cloud. When I was at St. Cloud, we lost to Colorado College. We lost to Minnesota. Still remember like it was yesterday. Mike Crawley scored in overtime against us. And the next afternoon, we played. That was the night game at the St. Paul Civic Center. And the next day, we had to go play CC at 2:00, and they beat us 6-1. We win. We're in the NCAA tournament. They were already in, and we lost, and we were out.
Well, if you can do the math, there's 16 teams in the national tournament. How many conference automatic bids are there? Because obviously, if you win your postseason tournament in your conference, you're in. So there's 10 open spots.
Yeah.
So you can do the math. There's usually some upsets. So the teams that are ranked high, I mean, there's going to be a few of those automatic six that would have gone anyway.
Right on.
Might be one or two. So you're sitting in pretty good position now. But, of course, obviously it really predicates on what's to come.
Absolutely. You got to win. You got to win. If you win, you're not looking over your shoulders. If you lose, you're praying for 16,000 different scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Just recently in the pairwise, they have added a quality road win bonus point.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't exactly said how many points that is.
It helps.
My question is, last weekend then, you split with Minnesota State. Would they get a quality road win bonus point?
Yep.
You split, but they get more
they
bang
should.
For their buck in the pairwise
well,
than what you guys did.
We got more in Mankato when we won too. Winning on the road's hard. And and here's the deal, Schultz, I'll let you under the hood, is that we're frustrated as a body is that you're going to have some of the bigger schools get home games all the time. They buy home games. They get home games because they muscle their way through home games. So we have to go on the road all the time, and it's, you're to win one out of every four or five games on the road. That's how hard it is to win on the road. So if you're going to go on the road, you better get some sugar. And that's kind of that's the reason for that. And what that might be, it might be incentive for some of those teams to go on the road a little more. But if they want to be at home and they want to lose games at home, it's going to benefit the team that beats them, and it's going to hurt them. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get more of the heavy hitters on the road more. So that's kind of a lot of the schools said, hey, we're going to go on the road. We have to have incentive when we go on the road.
Does the home team, for lack of a better term, get punished if they lose at home?
No, I don't. It's not that much skin in the game, but there's enough that at least it rewards you a little bit if you win. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get punished as much as the team that beats them is going to get rewarded.
Huh. Last time you guys made the national tournament, you lost in the CHA tournament. You had the at-large bid, and that frustrated some teams. That here's the CHA down to four teams, and two of them are into the national tournament. Well, kudos to Huntsville that year. They won the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, our body of work throughout the year got us into the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. We won a lot of big games that year, and we won a lot of big games on the road.
There used to be a time, was there not, where the regular season champion and the postseason champion both got bids to the national tournament?
I don't think so.
Like back in the late 80s and early 90s?
Well, maybe. I don't know. All I can tell you is in 94, I broke in 94 as my first year. CC won the regular season championship, and they lost to Michigan Tech in the quarters, and they never got in the NCAA tournament. That's when there was a 12-team NCAA tournament. It was Don's first year at CC. They won the WCHA. But Jamie Ram, who's the goalie in Michigan Tech, beat him. They beat him in CC.
Ouch.
Yeah, and CC didn't make the NCAA tournament. Now, if there was a 16-team tournament back then, they would have made it. But I think they were probably the next team out.
Wow.
So my point is that the regular season champion, it wasn't.
Hard as the regular season is, though, part of me says you should get rewarded for winning it in the regular season.
I get it, but again, then why have then to me it's irrelevant. You can't have playoffs then.
And what you want to do
is exciting time, and you want to reward the team. You know, because here's what happens, Schultze. By and large, the team who wins a regular season championship, by and large, they're in the NCAA tournament anyway. I mean, just take a look. Penn State won the Big Ten. They're in the NCAA tournament. North Dakota wins the NCHC. They're in the NCAA tournament. Minnesota State Mankato wins a WCHA. They're in the NCAA tournament. Who won the ECAC? I'm having a hard time. Cornell, they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. Hockey East, Boston College is, you know, probably going to win. They're in the NCAA tournament. So you know where I'm coming from? And they're all high seeds in the NCAA tournament. So you do want to reward the team who's playing the best hockey in a specific league in March, because that's good for college hockey. It's good for that league. It's good for that team because they're hot. Because, again, it's not necessarily who you're playing. It's when you're playing them. And you want to be playing good hockey at that time. Last time we went to the NCAA tournament in 2009, 2010, I knew we weren't going to do very well. We were leaking oil the last month of the season. We started off 12-1. We were 12-1-1. We ran out of gas. We were leaking oil. We just couldn't. Our best hockey was in October, November, and December. For whatever reason, it is what it is. And you know what? We played Michigan. We got the at-large bid. We were number 2 seed. And Michigan had to win. Michigan had to win the CCHA title, the playoffs, to get in the NCAA tournament. Well, they were, you know what, they were so hot. They were playing so well. So now we're playing the hottest team in the country, and we're playing 500 hockey probably. We only had 10 losses going into it, but we just weren't playing very good. We were fighting it. Even if when we were winning games, we were fighting it. It wasn't as easy as it was early in the year. And it was just but you're hoping at that particular time, you know, you're going to come around. But the wheels were off, and Michigan beat us. So what you're doing is you're rewarding the team that wins the playoffs. They're playing good hockey. They got their karma. They're playing hot hockey. They feel good about themselves. That's what's kind of good about having the playoff champion.
As a refresher for folks, the selection Sunday in the hockey would be the day after the WCHA championship game, correct?
Yep.
And then the games themselves would be played that following Thursday, Friday, the first games, and then Saturday and Sunday in their respective regionals. And then if you advance to the Frozen Four.
I think it's
Four.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think.
Is that what
I
it is?
Yes. Okay. I could, but I think so, yeah.
But it's right away, the next week. Talk about travel plans and in a hurry. And then, of course, the Frozen Four, if teams advance to that, that's 2 weeks after the regional competition, correct?
Right on.
So there you go.
Got to make room for bouncy ball.
And there's the time frame for everyone to follow here in the coming weeks.
Frozen Four is in Detroit this year.
Yes, Detroit is the home of the Frozen Four.
I've heard ticket sales aren't great, and I said, well, that's because it's in Detroit. And it's not really a destination spot in my brain.
Not usually, but they'll pick up once the teams are determined.
We'll take a break, come back. Our Where Is They Now segment. Jay Dickman, our focus next. Our player profile here tonight is with Brad Johnson. Just a reminder that you can sign up every Wednesday night for a signed Beaver hockey jersey. The registration box is there. Every Wednesday you come, you get another registration slip in the box. We'll give that away at our final show, which will be the week after the season comes to a close. And also a reminder that we are at seated at these high-top Beaver bar stools with high-top tables.
Almost time to give them away, right?
Courtesy of Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. These will be auctioned off at the Green and White Auction coming up in April at the Sanford Center. Get your tables now for the Green and White.
And what day is that again?
April 10th?
18th.
April 18th, the Sanford Center. They have a lot of cool stuff that you can buy.
Oh, yeah.
I walked by the foosball table at the level. That thing was nice.
Yeah, we're trying to make room in the basement for that.
Yes. It's all at the Green and White Auction. We'll come back. More of the Tom Cerutori Show next right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Tom Cerutori Show, live from the Green Mill on the Beaver Radio Network.
Okay, champ, rise and shine. Mountain Dew Kickstart is sounding the alarm. And last time we checked, no one woke up thinking, seize the snooze button. When it's time to get up, you don't just crawl out of bed, you rise. Because today, you're waking up with an attitude thanks to Mountain Dew Kickstart. It's a refreshing blend of juice, caffeine, and dew built to boost every pursuit with 9 incredible flavors like orange citrus, black cherry, and pineapple orange mango. Mountain Dew Kickstart. Kickstart your day.
Glass Doctor of Bemidji is locally owned and proudly supports BSU Sports. Glass Doctor is the place to call for all your glass repair and replacement needs. They handle both residential and light commercial glasswork. All of their technicians are trained and certified. Quality workmanship and customer satisfaction is what you can expect from Glass Doctor of Bemidji. Walk-ins welcome or call 759-1289 for an appointment. Glass Doctor of Bemidji, located next to Arby's. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint.
The big game is coming up. Motivate your team with new jerseys screen printed at Skeeter Stitch. Is your grand opening on the way? Make sure your employees look their best in custom embroidered shirts from Skeeter Stitch. When you need top quality shirts, jackets, sweats, caps, or other items for your group or business, Skeeter Stitch gets the job done. You supply the artwork or let Skeeter Stitch create it for you. For custom embroidery or screen printing, call Skeeter Stitch of Bemidji. Visit them online at SkeeterStitch.com.
Hey sports fans, Horizon Liquor invites you to stop in and check out their warehouse selection of beers, wines, and spirits they have to offer. The next time you're hosting a gathering with friends and family to watch a game or tailgate before one, Horizon Liquor is here for you to stock up and save. Horizon Liquor is located just 10 minutes west of Bemidji on Highway 2 in Solway. Horizon Liquor proudly supports all BSU athletes and wishes them a successful season. Go Beavers!
John, fishing waders aren't exactly appropriate office attire.
They're for my new fishing guide job. I know all the best spots to catch walleye.
Okay, I'll bite.
Good one. There are lots of great places for walleye. All Green Mills, of course.
Yes, the limited-time Walleye Fest menu at Green Mill is back.
Try the Kettle Chip Walleye Bites, Walleye Street Tacos, or Green Mill's famous Cabela Lodge Walleye, to name a few.
But John, don't you think the waiters are a bit much?
I guess so. Besides, they squeak when I walk, and they're really starting to chafe my...
Okay, John. Okay. Green Mill, pizza, pasta, beer and wings.
And Walleye Fest.
We'll see you at the mill.
Get the fastest internet speeds available, up to a gigabit per second, with no data caps or long-term contracts. Get GigaZone broadband internet from Paul Bunyan Communications. You'll get the speed you need to support all your devices, stream your favorite shows and movies, and a game online. Plus, you can get GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi, featuring Wi-Fi 6, so your wireless network is as powerful as it can be. For the best in internet, television, and voice services, choose Paul Bunyan Communications powered by the GigaZone. We're right here. Service availability depends upon location. Some restrictions may apply.
The Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Green Mill and the Tom Ceratori Show. Beavers will take on Lake Superior State this Friday, Saturday, and if needed, Sunday. Tickets are on sale at the Sanford Center box office. The box office opens at 9 o'clock each morning. Bud Light Party Deck tickets are $12. General admission seats start at $12 and obviously escalate from there. But youth tickets, 13 and under. Day of the game at the box office, you can get tickets for $8. I like it.
Be great to see the atmosphere we saw this past weekend. I mean, that is it what would. College hockey is all about. Is it spring break for students?
Are they around? Starts Friday.
Okay. Hopefully they'll stick around.
I would
Historically,
hope so.
They haven't, but I hope they do this year.
It's a challenge.
Yes. Tom, where are they now? Is Jay Dickman perhaps the best big dude penalty shot guy I've ever seen? I don't know what it was about
him. Possibly. It's bar none he is, you know. Bar none, Dickie is the best shootout player in the history of hockey over 6'5", you know.
Longest reach by any Beaver player
ever. 100%.
That was part of it.
No, he could reach into a different area code. I mean, he could be in 218 and he could get to 612 awful fast, you know.
What's Jay up to these days?
Dickie's playing in Wichita. He's playing in Wichita in the East Coast Hockey League. He started the year in Indianapolis, playing for the Fuel, and now he's in Wichita. Life of pro hockey.
Which is, like, put that in perspective of minor league hockey. What does that mean?
Single A, I'd be like single A. Double A. Double A, I guess, because the American League's triple A. But be like double A.
So two steps away?
Yeah.
Yep. Is there anybody, other former Beavers, playing in Wichita?
Boy, we've had a lot in the past, and that's a great question. I know Ian Lowe played in Wichita back
Kramer
in the day.
Did, I think.
Crames was in Tulsa, I think.
Oh, you're right.
And you know what? And you know what? There's been more, and I'm brain dead right now. I can't think of everything, but there's been some.
Jay Dickman, though, just his sheer size, is that how he got on your radar?
No, his hands. No, not about size. It was his hands and his goal scoring ability. Like Dickie can really shoot a puck, and Dickie's poised, and Dickie's got the hands and the head of a small hockey player. He really does. I mean, you saw it, and he scored 42 goals his last year in high school hockey at St. Paul Johnson. Then he went at the end of the year and played for the Fargo Force, and did pretty good there. And then he went to Austin and scored well in Austin. So, no, Dickie's always been a goal scorer. He's got an NHL release, and another reason he was on our radar. He's the cousin to Billy and Bryce Methvin.
So we have that.
So that's relationships too. Yeah.
Well, I remember he would go and park in front of the net. Hard to move and hard to see around him, although he might be able to duck underneath and look through his legs, but he was your guy that would go muck it up in front, right?
Oh, yeah. Dickie had a good touch in front of the net. He had a very good touch in front of the net, and we utilized him there, and he had really good, great hockey sense.
Our player profile here in just a couple of minutes is with defenseman Brad Johnson. Talk about his elevation up the food chain, so to speak, in his time here.
Well, Brad's got better every year, and his game has changed every year. He's more comfortable with his position, tough as nails, sturdy on his skates, tough as nails, can kill penalties, hard to play against. Again, he's got just natural grit. Brad's 5'9", but I'll tell you, he plays like he's 6'2". And he's got a bomb of a shot. He scored a couple big goals, as you know, this year, Schultz. He scored a couple big goals with his shot. And you know what? He's fearless. He's a fearless guy. And you can't have enough guys like that. He's just fearless. He'll play physical, and he's not afraid to play physical in front of the net. And he's a guy that we really lean on. I mean, we've got him, and we put him in a lot of different situations. He gets a lot of ice. He has power play time. He gets penalty kill time. He's just a guy that, again, he's really grown as a hockey player, and he eats up some hard minutes for us.
How did he get on your radar?
Brad was playing. I watched you first, Brad, in the Wilderness. You know, what year was that? So I remember when Brad was playing for the Wilderness, and I think you might have been committed to Ohio State at that time. And then he went to Fargo, and I watched him a couple years in Fargo, and we tried to get him. We wanted Brad to commit to us, and I thought you were going to. After his 19-year-old year, but he went back to Captain Fargo that last year, and then we stuck with it. And I still remember giving him a call. I go, well, we'd still love to have you. He goes, well, I'm coming. And I don't know if it was simple, really like that, but it's kind of like that. And it was that's what happened. And I really wanted him. I just thought he was just a good, well-rounded defenseman, and I thought he brought a lot to the table. And I just liked his game. And, he hasn't let us down. His game is really, like I said, his game's grown every year, and, to where he is right now.
He will join us next. Tom, best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Beavers and the Lake Superior State Lakers, Friday, Saturday, if needed, Sunday. We're back to the Tom Cerruttori Show at the Green Mill next here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Tom Cerruttori Show, live from the Green Mill on the Beaver Radio Network.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Financial Associate Alan Zutz, at 444-0202.
It's Mikey Love, the new general manager of Ray Sport and Marina Bemidji. Just because you missed the boat show doesn't mean you missed out on the savings. We have a large inventory of current and non-current Lund, Crestliner boats, as well as Bennington pontoons, all priced to sell. Rebates continue through March 31st. And don't forget, you have less than 60 days to come in and pre-order your new Articat snowmobile. We are also offering a 10% discount on all Articat parts, accessories, and apparel. Stop in today at Ray Sport and Marine, a mile and a half north of the airport on Highway 71.
When it comes to security, folks around here say,
"Ah, nobody's around."
But thieves say,
"Ah, nobody's around."
A check in the mail is exposed and accessible all day long. Digital payments are secure, fast, and easy. Try ePay from Ottertail Power Company. It's free and available online from wherever you are, even if it's in the middle of nowhere. Visit otpco.com/ePay.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 42. This is how you say happy hour. It's happy hour. Let's go get some Bud Lights. That's it for today.
Brewed with no corn syrup. Bud Light. Crisp. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. Anheuser-Busch. St. Louis, Missouri.
Get the fastest internet speeds available, up to a gigabit per second, with no data caps or long-term contracts. Get GigaZone broadband internet from Paul Bunyan Communications. You'll get the speed you need to support all your devices, stream your favorite shows and movies, and a game online. Plus, you can get GigaZone Blast Wi-Fi, featuring Wi-Fi 6, so your wireless network is as powerful as it can be. For the best in internet, television, and voice services, choose Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone. We're right here. Service availability depends upon location. Some restrictions may apply.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. Five classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
The Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Green Mill and the Tom Ceratori Show. Beavers open up the WCHA playoffs this weekend against the Lake Superior State Lakers, joined by Brad Johnson, junior defenseman from Chesterfield, Missouri. Brad, thanks for taking some time out of your schedule. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This season has been certainly enjoyable from my perspective because it's a lot easier doing the job when you guys are winning. How enjoyable has this year been for you guys? That one heck of a run you guys have been on here in 2020.
Yeah, definitely. It's been unreal. Definitely the second half of the season has been kind of the high point. Just keep going from here.
Well, I'd like to thank you for scoring the empty net goal on Friday night. That was nice.
Yeah.
In a scrum, looked like you had a little bit of time and recognized that you had a little time and you didn't miss.
Yeah, I just kind of saw the net and took the shot.
And you get to be the hero. Knew that you would play another night for the McNaughton Cup. You guys, have played solid. Now, defensively, that was the question mark coming in. Obviously, you're returning, but you get two or three freshmen coming in that are going to be thrown into the mix. You just never know how they're going to fit in. I'd say that that's worked out pretty well for you guys.
Yeah, the forward, our freshman class has been unreal this year. Everyone's participating in our success, and look forward to some more success this weekend.
Well, your senior class has been pretty special, too. How much have you looked up to those four guys? I know Saturday was senior night. It would have been nice to get that win on Saturday, but how much do you look up to those four guys?
Oh, all the time. From day one since I got here, all four of those guys have been super supportive and helpful in all aspects, on the ice, off the ice. Just kind of letting you know, just the little things that you need to know.
I asked Tom before the game on Saturday if Tommy Muck had a potential of being a coach down the road. He goes, he'd be a great coach, but I hope he doesn't do it. How much of a player coach is he, quite honestly?
He's awesome. He's vocal for sure on the bench and keeps guys accountable. And, it's great to have him back there on the D-course side for sure.
All right, we're not geography experts. If anybody's listened to our broadcast, we're not very good at that category, but Chesterfield, Missouri, where is that located?
In the Midwest.
Okay, but
right below us, just straight south.
But St. Louis, Kansas City
it's
side.
By St. Louis,
so
isn't it?
St. Louis is the far right of
Missouri, right?
Yeah, Kansas City's far left.
And Chesterfield is?
Chesterfield's about 20, 30 minutes outside St. Louis City.
All right, so more western Missouri.
Yeah.
And what is it growing up hockey-wise there? It doesn't seem that there'd be like a lot of outdoor hockey because it's not cold enough.
Yeah, not a lot of outdoor hockey, but definitely a big hockey town. From growing up with my three brothers and all our buddies, seeing the success that St. Louis has had and on a national level, NHL level, it's awesome to see the game keep growing.
So, well, and I've been through Chesterfield, Missouri, because Lindenwood is in St. Joseph, Missouri, right? Or St. something, Missouri, right outside of St. Louis.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, obviously, the St. Louis Blues are a big deal. Who was your favorite player growing up?
I had a couple favorite players, but I'd say right now I like watching Justin Falk. He's a strong little right-handed defenseman, and just like watching him out there.
Do you kind of emulate his game a little bit in yours?
Yeah, I guess so, a little bit. Do what I can, I guess.
I've always thought St. Louis had an identity crisis when it came to which pro sports teams to follow. Because when the Rams were there, they were popular. The Blues have obviously been popular. The Cardinals are popular. What was your favorite sport as a kid?
I think hockey has always kind of been my number one sport. I was never any good at baseball. Tried out swimming, didn't like that at all. My mom has a picture of us, and all my brothers were on the swim team in little Speedos, and I never want to do that ever again.
So, older brothers, younger brothers?
I have two older brothers, one younger brother, and a little sister.
And so did your older brothers were into hockey? Is that what drew you into hockey, or your mom or dad into hockey?
Yeah, my dad has always kind of been a Blues fan. His dad was a Blues fan, and hockey's in the blood, and we're kind of the first generation to play in the Johnson family.
For D1, I'm guessing you're the one who's gone the furthest?
Yeah.
All right, so do your parents get a chance to come up here at all and take in the action?
Yeah, they were up here this past weekend, and they loved it. I had the whole family here, all my brothers, sister, and their significant others, and it was a lot of fun having them all here for a weekend, and a great weekend.
So before Coach Cerratore started pestering you in the recruiting process, had you ever heard of Bemidji or Bemidji State?
Yes, I did because of Tommy Muck. I played with him in Fargo, and I knew that he was coming here, and kind of followed his path, I guess.
Well, Coach said you had committed to Ohio State. What made you change to Bemidji State? What was the big reason?
Just more of a family feel here, and close-knit group, and just, you know, kind of fell in love with everything.
Well, this isn't your first rodeo come the playoff time. What have you been telling the guys who it is their first time around?
Just don't really change anything up. Keep it simple and stick to the game plan.
Fans assume that you guys have some bad blood over getting knocked out of the playoffs by them a year ago. In real life, does that happen?
I guess a little bit.
Well, I think it
I
can't,
like your honesty, Brad.
Well, it can't serve... But anything but motivation, right? I mean, you don't want that to happen 2 years in a row. Obviously, this year you've got the higher seed, and it's here at the Sanford Center.
Yeah. I mean, we try not to like look into it too much, I think. Just kind of stick to what we've been doing that got us successful up to this point and keep doing it.
To me, there is no better motivation for having a good regular season than not having to go to Ferris State or Lake State or Bowling Green in the playoffs.
Yes, yeah, no, I mean, this is awesome that that we're going to be at home, especially after last weekend, seeing the fans that turned out for that and all the support we've been having. It's just unreal.
Was last weekend the most fun playing. Yeah. Just the atmosphere and everything that was on the line.
Yeah, it was surreal. It was a surreal experience for sure.
How much do you guys feed off of that? I mean, like, for the fans that are in the stands, they can hear the noise and the loudness, but from the ice level, how much of that do you guys hear?
Oh, I mean, definitely it's really important, I think, within the first 5 minutes of the game. Just feed off that energy, and then you got to just dial it in and do what you're there for.
So fans, go buy your tickets and cheer on our Beavs this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Brad, this is the time of the interview where things, say they're unpredictable. Glass of water, that's a good choice right there. Do you have any pets?
Yes, I have a pet dog named Oreo.
Oreo.
Yes.
What breed is Oreo?
She is a Havanese.
A what?
A Havanese. It's like a little Shih Tzu looking.
Oh, so it's a lap dog.
Yeah, a little tiny dog. Like more of a cat than a dog.
Black and white?
Yep, black and white.
That's funny. I have a black and white cat, and my 9-year-old insisted the only thing we couldn't call it was Oreo. I have no idea why. That's the first thing that came to mind is, hey, it's an Oreo. We eat Oreos. And she ruled that out immediately for whatever reason. How about what's the last movie you saw in a movie theater? You're a pretty busy guy, so I'm not sure you get away much.
I think it was Frozen 2.
Really?
What?
Yeah. I was kind of forced to go, but...
The girlfriend, right? Way to go, Sylvia.
after that, I wasn't too mad that I saw it.
Okay.
It wasn't horrible. I had to see it, too. I have a 9-year-old, so you get sucked
kind
into that.
Kind of catchy songs.
Okay. Popcorn or candy at the movies?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry?
Popcorn or candy at the movies?
I do a little popcorn candy mix. I throw the Swedish fish or some milk duds in the popcorn.
Oh, right. I like that idea. Yum.
Interesting concoction.
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of music do you listen to before a game?
I like rock, I think. Rock, a little bit of rap. Just kind of throw it on shuffle.
What was the last concert you went to?
I can't even tell you the last concert I went to. It might have been a Lil Wayne concert back in back in high school.
Lil Wayne.
At least I'm familiar with that name. I love asking what is, you know, some of the artists on your playlist, because we're old. So what are some of the artists on your playlist other than Lil Wayne?
Lil Wayne. I've been kind of into Luke Combs lately.
He's good.
Yeah, I like his music. And just kind of throw it on the top 50 U.S. and hit shuffle.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. If price is no factor, what's your go-to meal at a restaurant?
Go-to meal?
Yeah.
I love fish. Anytime you can get good fish, like what we got in Alaska, you can't beat that, I thought. So.
I go to Alaska and I order jambalaya every year.
Schultz's weird.
Well, that's have seafood.
Actually,
in it.
Really good jambalaya.
Well, it's fresh seafood in there, I bet.
No.
No?
Well, there is a little shrimp in there, but.
No crab or anything?
No.
Huh.
All right, I'm going to throw a curveball. What celebrity athlete would you want to sit down one on one and have dinner with?
Celebrity athlete? I'm trying to think. Does it matter?
Alive or dead. It doesn't matter.
I think, I don't know, go with Wayne Gretzky would be an awesome meal, I think, right?
That was the obvious choice, right? Wayne Gretzky? Heck, who wouldn't want to have dinner with Wayne?
Yeah.
You guys play video games? Are you an NHL video game player?
I dabble with video games. I think I'm more of a FIFA guy than
all right.
NHL.
Yeah.
But
Xbox, PlayStation 4, what is it?
Xbox, all the way.
All right.
Xbox.
Okay. You are a student athlete. What is your major?
My major is business administration. But
you cannot select him. Who's your favorite professor? I just pointed to Doug Life, by the way.
I saw Professor Beach today, so I'm going to go with Tom Beach.
Yeah, there you go.
What about a class not associated with your major? What's your favorite class that you took outside of your major?
Freshman or, sophomore year, I think I took Ojibwe Arts and Crafts.
Really? Oh, that would be cool.
Charlie Combs and I took that. Nah. We made a pair of mittens, and it was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that would be cool.
Okay, you each made a pair of mittens, or you worked on the same pair of mittens? Because I have a follow-up question.
Yeah, did you do the right or the left mitten?
No, we both made our own pair.
Okay, who made the better mittens?
I think I did, for sure.
Are they still in use? Do you, like, give them to your mom for Christmas or anything?
No, I still have them in my room here at Bemidji.
Nice.
Use them every now and then.
That's okay. Awesome.
You should have worn them at hockey day last year. Kept your hands warm.
Yeah, definitely.
Who are your roommates this year?
I live with Charlie Combs, Tyler Vold, and Hank Johnson.
Who is the messiest? We love asking this question.
The messiest. I don't know who to throw under the bus here.
You don't want to throw any of them under the bus because you know when you get home you're going to hear about it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, then you can always just answer yourself.
Yeah, I wouldn't put myself in that category. I think it's got to be it's got to be Charlie.
Now, he's a fellow Missourian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know or play with him or against him growing up?
Yeah, I played with Charlie since we were real young. I've known him basically my whole hockey life. So,
wow.
I think the term I used last weekend, and this term might be too old for you, but I said Charlie Combs is like a Weeble. Those little toys you get, Weebles wobble, but they don't fall. Charlie goes in the corner, he never gets knocked down to the ice.
Oh, I know. He's
true.
I love watching Charlie play. He throws the body, he can put the puck in the back of the net, he's fast, and yeah, joy to watch for sure.
The Weebles were a toy in the 70s, Brian.
Yes,
I know.
I don't even know what a Weeble is.
Yeah.
I could Google them for you.
It's one of those things that they have a rounded bottom and it won't fall over.
And they have their faces painted on them, and I don't remember what you did with a Weeble, but I remember they wobbled, but one fall down.
Just Google it, right?
I got it. I'm going to look them up.
Yeah.
They're there.
I played with them as a kid.
That tells you how old we are.
It's a children's toy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really dating us. Can we not talk about Weebles anymore?
They just don't fall over.
Hey,
that's awesome.
It was a good analogy to the listener. They could picture.
There's even videos of them.
50% of our audience has no clue what you're talking about.
I remember that commercial, too.
All right. Hopefully. Everybody at that table knows what a Weeble is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys know, right? Yeah.
Well, except for Carly.
You ever played with Weebles?
No.
No?
No.
All right. One last serious question for you. There is nothing like the playoffs. Do you have a tendency of getting too amped up for the playoffs, or do you try to keep yourselves pretty even keel?
I think, obviously there's a lot more on the line, so you could get too amped up, but definitely just try to keep myself sticking to the routine.
It's worked so far.
I think so.
Best of luck, Brad.
All right, thanks for having me.
Our player profile, Brad, with Brad Johnson tonight. The Beavers take on the Lake State Lakers Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday if needed. 7:07 on Friday night, 6:07 then Saturday, and Sunday info online at beaverradionetwork.com. We're back next Wednesday, hopefully previewing a WCHA semifinal series. We're back at the Green Mill next Wednesday night, 6 until 7, right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
You've been listening to a special sports presentation of the Beaver Radio Network with broadcast rights granted by Bemidji State University. Any rebroadcast is strictly prohibited. The Beaver Radio Network is brought to you by Acme Tools, Allen Zoots, and Thrivet Financial.
Sanex, Horizon Warehouse Liquor, Donlinger GM, Lukens Village Foods, The Green Mill, City Auto Glass, Paul Bunyan Communications, DS Beverages, Higgins Heating, Glass Doctor, Ray Sport and Marine, St. Michael Furniture, Knife River Materials, Otter Tail Power, Skeeter Stitch, Pepsi Noi Bottling, Taco John's, Lakes Market and Liquor Store, First National Bank of Bemidji, and Choice Therapy. The executive director of the Beaver Radio Network is Mark Ritchie. The broadcast engineer of the Beaver Radio Network is Roger Paskban. For Brian Schultz, Brian Bissonette, Kelly Schultz, Kevin Reed, and everyone at the Beaver Radio Network, thank you for listening to your home for the Beavers for 20 years. The Beaver Radio Network. For more info on the Beavers, log on to BeaverRadioNetwork.com.